Welcome. I'm Jim DeMolin, editor of the WealthyDentist.com, and I'm here today to talk to you about maximizing your marketing and targeting the high-value patient. We start by understanding marketing by looking at this phrase, because this is the number one rule in all marketing. If you don't ask, you don't receive. However, beware. You may get what you ask for. I'll tell you a story about one of our clients that we worked with almost 10 years ago, Dr. Mary Ann Day in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Mary Ann came into our office and she says, Jim, I just built an outrageously beautiful new practice in downtown Las Cruces. Actually, my husband, Grant, is an engineer, put the whole thing together and just it's absolutely fantastic. But what I want from you, and I want it as fast as I can get it, is I want as many new patients as you can possibly get me. And I want them now. I said, Mary Ann, you sure? And she said, yes, I've got to have patients to pay for that office. I said, fine. 3.5 months later, I get a phone call. Jim, we've got a problem. I said, what's the problem, Mary Ann? She says, I've got 57 new patients a month. I said, Mary Ann, but you asked for all the possible new patients you could get. And she says, but I've got 57 new patients a month. I can't service 57 new patients a month. I'm doing nothing but examinations. I don't have time. Okay. Beware, you might get what you ask for. Because if you market and you use the principles we're going to talk about today, you may find yourself very well overwhelmed with the response you get from the program. Now let's start with our basic issue. How many new patients do you really need a month? First of all, the real question is how many new patients can you do a full diagnosis and case presentation on? Because you have an ethical obligation to your community to take care of the patients you see. You can't just cherry pick through 57 new patients a month. You won't have time to do a good job at any of them. So how many new patients can you perform full diagnosis and case presentation on? Now, number of average days in a month for a normal doctor is about 16 working days a month. The number of new patients per day that they can generally see to keep everything consistent is about 2 new patients a day. So that means that you've got to have time for operative, and you only want to see about 2 new patients in a steady stream every day. Maximum number of new patients that you can handle in a given month, 32. For some people, that may even be too many, depending on the style of dentistry you use. But remember, the main question is how many new patients can you do full diagnosis and case presentation on? And we never take any more than that because we'll be cheating the people who come into your office because they won't be getting full quality care from you. All right, all marketing is systems. 94% of success is the system, 6% is creativity. This is Edward Deming. Deming was the master of systems design and technology. He was the man who went over to Japan after World War II and rebuilt the Japanese industry using systems that targeted quality. And he learned this, he preached it, and it's become accepted truth in business that 94% of success is the system, 6% is creativity. I want to tell you right now, I'm going to be giving you systems as part of the WealthyDentist.com program for marketing. Step-by-step systems. Follow the system. If you want to be creative, very simple. Change the name from Dr. Sample to your name. Change the address from 123 Main Street to your address and use your phone number. That's about all you really have to do to be successful with our training programs for marketing. And that's it. If you want to be more creative with it, understand that you're probably going to reduce the results of the system. And that's what it comes down to. One of the problems I've seen in marketing over the years is that doctors will say, hey, I got this great idea from Jim DeMolin from thewealthydentist.com. Then I went over and I talked to Pride, and they had a great seminar. And then I talked to Blatchford, and he had a great seminar. And I took the idea from Jim, I took one from Blatchford, and I took one from Pride, and I kind of combined them together into this great idea. Guess what? It won't work. Keep the integrity of the system. I don't care what system you use. The key thing here is to use one consistently because they're designed to work as a whole. When you start to take bits and pieces from different ideas and put them together, generally you lose the synergism of the entire system. So stay with the system. Now, first, choose systems that complement your personality. I can't stress this enough. There are doctors out there, and I know one who has an elephant, literally. And an elephant, he would get on this elephant, and he would sit on the elephant and be on late-night cable TV. He would be in his jeans, his flannel shirt, he had his little hat, his cowboy hat, and he'd say, come on, come on, come on down and see the biggest elephant in my town. Biggest teeth, everything. And he was comfortable with that. Wasn't a problem. Now the question I've got to ask you is, would you be comfortable sitting on the back of an elephant telling everybody in your community to come down to your dental office and see the biggest teeth in the community? Probably not. What works for one doctor is not necessarily going to work for all doctors. And this is what you've got to be careful about when you're doing marketing strategies. You've got to make sure that they complement your personality. So, elephant might work great for one guy, but might not necessarily be the best for you. Next, we want to have strategies that we start with that have the lowest cost of acquisition. Why spend a dollar more than you have to before you have to? So let's start with the lowest cost acquisition strategies first, then build up to the ones that cost more money as we fill in the new patients into the practice as we need them. Number three, we want to choose systems that target the types of patients you want and screen out undesirables. We all know who the undesirable patient is. It's the patient who calls you at 11:30 on Saturday night with a toothache and wants you to prescribe drugs over the phone. The systems that we're going to teach you through thewealthydentist.com are geared to pushing those kinds of people away and attracting those kinds of people who appreciate a true professional in the community. That's what we want. And finally, number four, we want marketing strategies that preheat the patients for case acceptance. The best patient that you have, you probably all have heard this one, is the one that walks through the door. Mrs. Jones walks through the door and she says, ah, Mrs. Weatherby sent me, doctor. She said you're the kindest, best doctor in the entire community. She's never been to a better dentist. And I want to be a patient of your practice. And I'm fee for service. I pay cash all the time. And I just want to be a member of your practice. Now, what do you say when you hear that? You say, yes. What did it cost you to get that patient referral? Absolutely nothing other than treating your current patients correctly. That's a highly preheated patient. She's going to accept the dentistry that you give her. The ultimate all-time greatest marketing program that I designed over the last 20 years, I'm going to lay it out to you as an illustration of exactly the power of marketing strategies that we have at thewealthydentist.com. 1982. Yes, that's me. I had hair. I was about 20 pounds slimmer, and I'm leaning against a red E-Type Jaguar convertible. Now, that's the kind of car you have when you're single. It's beautiful. Tan interior, wire wheels, two tops, 12 cylinders. And I had life just where I wanted it. I was running a marketing company, living in San Francisco on Telegraph Hill. And every day I would run down the steps, I would run around the Embarcadero, and I'd stop at the San Francisco Bay Club and work out, and then I'd run back up to my place and shower. So one day I was working out at San Francisco Bay Club, the ultimate yuppie, you know, workout place, and a friend of mine says, Jim, come on over here. There's a thing here on the bulletin board that says you can sign up to be interviewed as a candidate for a book. What's the book? It's the 100 Most Eligible Bachelors in San Francisco. They're looking for the 100 most eligible guys. And I said, well, how much does it cost? He says, it doesn't cost anything. Just sign your name, put your phone number down, and if you qualify, they'll put you in the book. I didn't have anything to lose. Put my name down, put my phone number, didn't think too much about it. A couple weeks go by, I get a call from this woman. She's editor with Random House. It's a book company. Didn't know much about book companies at that time, but it's a big one. She says, I'd like to talk to you a little bit to see if you qualify for the 100 most eligible bachelors in San Francisco. I said, fine. She says, well, some of my questions are a little personal. And I says, no problem. You can ask me anything you want. She says, well, are you single? I says, yes. Have you ever been married? No. How old are you? 37. She kind of paused for a minute. And she says, are you open to the concept of marriage? And I said, yes. To be honest with you, I've come to that point in my life where I think it's time that I get married. She says, fine. I only have one more question for you. I said, lay it on. She says, are you straight? And I said, absolutely. And she says, you qualify. Basically, they were having a hell of a time trying to find 100 straight guys in San Francisco for this book. So I qualified. All right. So she set up an interview with the author of the book. I took her to lunch, did the interview, went out and took this picture next to my E-Type Jaguar convertible. And she said, I'm going to send you my write-up. If you don't like it, just correct it. It's not going to hurt my feelings any. Just send it back the way you want it. A month or two went by, my partner opens up the mail, gets the, you know, thing, and says, Jim, I'm reading this bio this woman wrote about your life and what you want in a woman, and it is caca. And I said, well? He says, I think we need to rewrite this in detail. And I said, what do you mean we? It's my life. And he says, look, I think I can help on this. I've known you for quite some time, and I know what kind of women that you're looking for. So we rewrote this write-up as a direct mail marketing piece. And we always ask for what you want. Be very specific when you're marketing. Ask for exactly what you want. And we just sent it in. Didn't think too much about it. A couple weeks go by, get a call from the woman from Random House. She says, we're going to have a book party. Wants you to come on down. It's going to announce the book. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a disco down on the Embarcadero, the waterfront, not that far from where you live. I said, fine, I'll be there. So about a week before the party, I'm driving down the street in my E-Type Jaguar convertible. And I'm listening to the radio, and I hear this ad. It comes on. Win a chance to meet the 100 most eligible bachelors in San Francisco. And I realized all of a sudden that this was getting a little more bigger than I had thought. Excuse me. I'm looking at this, and all over now in the newspaper, on the radio, on television, there are ads to meet the 100 most eligible bachelors. They're raffling off chances to meet the 100 most eligible bachelors. I'm getting a little nervous. Day comes for the party. I get all booted up, walk on down to the Embarcadero. Bright sunny day. It's 4:30 in the afternoon, which is a little strange for a party, but they said they wanted to have it early so they could get some media attention. I think, well, based on what I've heard on the radio, they've got their media attention. And I get to the disco, and there's a red carpet. And there are television cameras. There are radio guys trying to get people to interview as they go down the red carpet. And I'm getting a little nervous about this. So I get to the end of the red carpet, and there's a woman there, and she says, welcome. You must be Jim DeMolin. I said, yeah. She's giving a little rose, put it in my lapel, and she says, go on in. And I said, fine, and I walk into this disco. Now, a disco's dark. It's like, you know, it's bright, sunny day. You go into a movie theater, and you can't see anything because your eyes are dilated, and you can't see a damn thing. So I'm standing there in the entrance to this disco. I can't see anything, totally dark, just standing there like a doofus looking around. And all of a sudden, as my eyes start to come into focus, I realize the walls are moving. And I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden, they come into focus, and the walls are lined with women, three deep. And they're all looking at the book, and they're looking at me, and they're looking at the book, and they're changing the pages back and forth, and they're trying to see. And I realized all of a sudden that they were looking at me, and they were looking at the book, trying to find out who I was. They had pages marked with grading systems, point systems, paper clips, you name it. And it came to me all of a sudden that for the first time in my life, I was the meat. And it was great. I got to tell you, I hadn't been to a party like that ever. I'm 58 years old. I grew up, you know, in the post-World War II era. I had sweaty palms every time I went to pick up a phone to call a girl for a date. Women would come up to me at this party and hand me their business cards, ask me if we wanted to get together later. It was just overwhelming. I'd never been to a party like this before. I mean, I was collecting cards. I figured out after about the 10th one I should put a code system on this so I could remember what was happening. I met two unbelievably beautiful women at this party alone that I dated for a year. It was a great time. That's all I can tell you. Well, as things would happen, a year goes by, date these two women. Both of them marry rich, older men at the end of the year. I was basically a placeholder, filled in a gap while they worked out their lives. I had gotten a post office box, and I got about 200 letters, you know, from the book, you know, asking, you know, to get together. And I hadn't answered any of them because I was dating these two women. At the end of the year, I disconnected the box, didn't think too much about it, and went on with life. Well, about a month later, I get this letter in the mail. And I open it up, and it's from this woman who read the book. And I read it, and it's a great letter. It's really intelligent. It's well thought out. It's put together. This woman's really interesting, and she's got a photo. And she's about 5'2", got curly blonde hair, blue eyes. She's outside at Rockefeller Plaza in New York. You can see that because you see it all in the background. The picture was cut in half. I assume she was next to a guy, and she just cut that guy out of the photo. Women are good about recycling these things. She had red eyes, sign of the devil, but that's really what happens when you take a picture with an Instamatic, and they didn't fix those in those days. And I said, well, I'm going to give this woman a call. Didn't think too much of it. My partner comes up. He sees the photo sitting on my cocktail table, and he says, wow, who's this? So I got this letter in the mail from this woman. She read the Bachelor book. And she says, well, how did she get your home address? And I says, boy, I don't know. I discontinued the box. And he reads the letter. He says, you know, Jim, this woman's perfect for you. I've known you now for 5 years, and this woman is absolutely what you need. Have you called her? And I said, I'm going to call her, but I'm going to call her next week. My best friend, Ralph's coming into town. Known me since kindergarten. Went through Weebelows together, Cub Scouts. Went through high school together, roomed together in college. I was best man at his wedding. He's coming in this weekend. I'm going to show him San Francisco. He says, you've got to promise to call this woman. I says, I'll call her. Friday comes around. Ralph comes into town, sits down in my apartment. We're having a beer. Looks down, and he says, hey, what's this? And I says, oh, that's a letter I got. He reads the letter. He says, Jim, this woman's perfect for you. I've known you since kindergarten. I roomed with you in college. This woman is everything you need in a woman. Have you called her? I'm going to call her next week. 15 minutes later, as God is my witness, the telephone rings. It's Suzanne. She says, why haven't you answered my letter? 9 months later, I am married. I am a mail order husband. I was picked out of a catalog. My relationship with my wife, that's now 21 years running, it all started from a marketing campaign. And it worked out. Other than the fact that she made me give up the red E-type Jaguar convertible, which is another story we can tell you later in the program or when you become a member of the WealthyDentist.com. But the bottom line is, marketing works. Now, let's take a look at my campaign. First of all, choose systems that complement your personality. Didn't bother me to be in a book, you know, that goes out to everybody. If I can stand up and speak to 1,000 people at a time about dental marketing, it's not a problem for me being in a book that goes out to the world. Not a problem at all. One, have there two, have the lowest cost of acquisition. Cost me absolutely nothing to get into this book. Absolutely nothing. Acquisition cost was really low. Maintenance cost on Suzanne for the last 20 years has been outrageous. That's all I can tell you. Most of the guys will know that. Number three, targets the type of patients you want and screen on the desirables. Well, in my case, it targeted the exact type of woman that I want. I was very specific in my marketing on what I wanted, and that's what I got. Now, whether she got what she wanted, that's another thing. Preheat, absolutely. The book preheated Suzanne. I was one of 100 eligible bachelors who were straight in San Francisco, a unique group of people. So I was preheated, and she was preheated, and I was legitimized by the book. All right. That's what marketing's all about. But let me take you to the next step, and that's understanding marginal profit. Because all good marketing starts with economics. And understanding marginal profit is key to that. And we do that with a great illustration, an airplane. Now, this is our airplane. I want to make you a member of the board of directors of our new airline. We only have one airplane right now. It flies between San Francisco and Los Angeles. And our airline breaks even with half its seats filled with full $100 passengers. So when we've got 100, you know, we've got half of our plane filled with $100 passengers, we're breaking even. We can fly tomorrow. We won't make money. We won't lose money. We'll pay for food and fuel and all that and maintenance, but we, you know, we won't lose any money. So the cost of each additional passenger is $22 for food and fuel. So if I put another person on there, it's going to cost me $22. From a business point of view, this is the question we've got to ask. Once we have sold all the full fare $100 seats we can, what is the most we can charge and what is the least we can charge to make a profit on the remaining seats? This is a business decision. It's a marketing issue. So what's the answer to this? the most we can charge is $99, because we've already sold everything we could at $100, full fare. We're going to make, you know, $77 because we've got the cost of the peanuts, the food that we serve, and our fuel. So our most profit we're going to make is $77. The least we can make is $1, because we know our cost, we're going to sell it at $23, our cost is $22, and we'll make $1, because we're already at break even at this point. Anything we add is going to add some level of profitability to our plane. So let's look at the issue. We're going to go out now and tweak our pricing structure on the internet, because everybody's on the internet these days. It doesn't cost us anything much. So we go out and we sell the next 6 seats on the internet for $90. And we make a marginal profit of $408. We take the $90 minus the $22, that's $68 times 6, and that's $408. Now that's $408 we wouldn't have made if we had just flown our airplane when we broke even with our full fare passengers. The next thing we do is we lower our prices again, $75. Now, that gives us $212 in additional marginal profit. 75 minus 22, 53 times 4. So now we're up to $620. And finally, waitlisted people. You know, they go out, standbys, people who are just waiting out at the airport to see if a seat opens up. $50 we'll give you, you know, this ticket for. And we make ourselves $28 on those people. We've got 4 of them left, and we sell them at the airport for the people who are just standby. But we make another $112. Now, we add it all up, and it comes up to $732. Now, that's our marginal profit after the cost of marketing, after, you know, we've reduced out the value of the seat. Now, everybody got the same service. Everybody got the same airplane. Everybody got the same peanuts to eat. So it works out for everybody. Airplanes equal practices. Plane seats equal dental chairs. And that's what I want you to understand. The rules are very simple. If you have empty operatory chairs or open treatment time, it is profitable to you to market patients so long as your cost of marketing does not exceed your marginal profit. Once you've broken even in your practice, you paid all your bills, and if you still have open operatory time, you need to market. And what's going to happen is it's going to increase your profit dramatically. The first rule is this: maximize the number of full fare patients first. Never displace a full fare patient, a full fee-for-service patient, with a marketed patient. Full fee-for-service patient is someone who walks through your door, who's been referred, who's, you know, doesn't, you know, it's not even insurance probably. It's a full fee-for-service patient. Never displace those people for marketing patients. So you've got to be careful. You always start with these people. Second, fill the remaining operatory time with the least expensively acquired patient with the most marginal profit. This is critical. Don't spend a dime more than you have to. Pick your strategies based on the marginal profit that's left over after you've calculated the cost of the strategy. So let's take a look at it. That's going to walk you through this procedure for you to calculate this. First of all, airline passenger. Cost of the ticket was $100. Less cost of food and fuel was $22. Our marginal profit is $78. That's our marginal profit. Now, in a dental practice, we want to calculate your marginal value on a dental patient. So what we do is we go back in time 9 months. And we want to see what the value of a new patient is, the average value of a new patient is in your practice over the first 9 months in your practice. How much dentistry gets done? Now, why did I pick 9 months? Well, I'll talk about this a little bit more later, but the bottom line is I've learned that doctors can't keep investing in a marketing strategy for more than 9 months without breaking even or getting a positive return. Let me give you an example. You start a marketing campaign. It costs you $3,000 a month, and you put in $3,000 a month, and what happens? Nothing. You get zipped back. You feel pretty bad about it, but all marketing is repetition. Next month, you put in another $3,000, and you still don't get anything back. Get a little nervous about it. The third month, you put it in, you've got $9,000 in the campaign, and you still don't get anything back. Right now, your spouse is usually saying, I think it's time we stop this marketing. And that's what happens with the average business person. whether it be a dentist, a shoemaker, or anyone. They put in 3 months worth of marketing, they don't get a break even on their return on investment, and they quit. The problem is, almost every marketing strategy out there takes 6 to 9 months to come to fruition before you get a return on your investment. Most of the time, 9 months to a year. And I've learned, in working with doctors over the last 20 years, that if I can keep the doctor in the strategy for 9 months, we'll make a profit on it. 9 out of 10 times. So, how do we judge this in advance? How do we check to see what our risk factors are? And to do that, we have to know what our marginal profit is from a new patient. So we go back 9 months. We take 30 new patients at random who have been in the practice at least 9 months. We calculate, we put their names down on the form. We calculate the value of the patient for gross dental production and hygiene production. We add it all up, and we take the average value of a new patient. Now, I don't want people that just accepted dentistry. I want the average guy who walks through the door. I don't care if it was an emergency. I don't care if he accepted dentistry or not. I just want bodies that came through the door. I don't care if they're children or adults. I just want the average new patient as they walk through the door. Because that's how you get a statistically real number. And it's important to do this correctly. Oh, now, if you'd like a system to do this automatically for your practice, go back to thewealthydentist.com and check out firstprospects.com. This program is outrageous. It tracks, automatically tracks and analyzes all your new patients. It's an internet program. It sits on the workstation of your scheduling coordinator and your financial arrangements coordinator at the front desk, the people who answer the phone, and it will automatically track the value of a new patient, the source and everything. It'll give you all of the statistics I'm talking about now. But it's a great program. But you can do it this other way too. I don't want to dispel you from that. So how much production will a new patient generate in the first 9 months? First of all, like I said, I use 9 months. First 3 months on a marketing strategy, you're not going to get anything. 6 months, you'll start to get a return. In the 9th month, you'll start to get a real return. By the end of the first year, it'll be fully integrated into your marketing. All marketing is repetition. You've got to hit the people over and over and over again. It's like a television ad. How many times have you watched an ad on TV, 30-second ad, come back, there's a 15-second or another 30-second ad, and then they come back with the same 30-second ad you saw less than a minute earlier? They're trying to embed their message into you, to bombard you with their name. They're just getting that recognition factor built up. And that's why they do it. They hit you over and over again. They keep repeating the message. And it works. In your case, most of us, our doctors can't afford to be on television. It can be very expensive unless you've got things worked out. There are a couple exceptions to that. And go back to the wealthy dentist. We'll talk about those. But right now, you want repetition. So that's why we look at your first year projected responses that way. So how much production will a new patient generate in the first 9 months? Well, hygiene. This is pretty conservative by anybody's estimate. These numbers work on the average across the United States. If you're in Manhattan and New York, it's going to be significantly higher. If you're in the middle of farm country in Iowa, it may be significantly lower. Don't get hung up on the numbers. Just look at the mathematics. So we got hygiene at $58. Dental production. Well, you got your dental exam, you got your consultation, your dentistry. $692, you add it together with the $54 for hygiene, you come up with $750. Average value of a standard patient. Seems to work. Now, contribution to overhead or marginal profit. How do we calculate that? Well, total production, $750. Collections. According to the ADA, the average dentist collects about 96% of their production. So we're down to $720. Less variable cost. I'm going to use 24%. Now, what are variable costs? Variable costs are those things that go up and down with production. Obviously, lab fees. Lab fees average anywhere between 8 and 12% for an average practice. So we take our average practice or average dental patient. So 10% there. We also have 9% what we call universal variables, office supplies, dental supplies, disposables, charts. We've got Visa and MasterCard cost, that 2.5% or 2.1% that you get charged. All of that gets calculated in plus collections loss, and we figure out your variable expenses are 24%. So the net contribution to overhead from a $750 gross production patient is $555 for each additional new patient a month. Now, that's a pretty good deal. So if you have 20 new patients a month, religiously, on the average, and you're paying all your bills, you're at break-even, just like our airplane. You're paying all the bills, all the salaries, and you're paying your salary. If you add one additional new patient a month, it's worth $555 to your pocket. If you can add 10 additional new patients a month, and that's what the strategies, the minimum goal of every strategy in the wealthydentist.com is to put in at least 10 new patients a month. If we can add 10 new patients a month, that means you're going to add $5,500 a month, over $60,000 a year with one good marketing strategy. And we've got about 12 easy to implement marketing strategies for you as part of the WealthyDentist.com program. All right. Now you know what a standard value of a new patient is worth. But what is the value of a cosmetic restorative patient, a denture patient, implant, Invisalign, orthodontic, sedation, you name it? What are the value of these patients in your practice? Who are we going to target for marketing? Do you want to target standard new patients, or do you want to target high-value new patients? Let's take a look. First of all, we lay out this grid. It's a very interesting program. And what we have is the marginal profit percentage. So you've got a cosmetic restorative patient. You fill in the blank here with your value of a cosmetic patient. The marginal profit on a cosmetic patient is usually about 75%. And we've done that all the way down appropriately. You can see it changes a little bit. For a pediatric care patient, the marginal profit's 86% because you don't have any lab fee. So it'll vary depending on the type of high value or type of patient we're looking at. So there's your marginal profit list. Now, let's fill it in. Now, the values we've dropped in here are based on research of over 600 practices that we've managed over the last 20 years. And this is the average value of the patients in those practices. And they're spread pretty much across North America, including Canada. We've adjusted for the Canadian dollar ratio. So this is in U.S. dollars. Excuse me. So a cosmetic restorative patient's about $5,500 times 75% for marginal profit percentage, and it gives us a net contribution to overhead of $4,125. And we did that for all these categories. Now I want you to select those kinds of high-value patients that you want in your practice. I want you to do this analysis in a way that you pick three, the three high-value patients you really want to target. You want cosmetic restorative. You want implant patients. You want sedation anxiety-free patients. These are the ones that you have decided to focus on. Now, this varies for every practice. Some of you might not be into implants and not feel comfortable doing implants. That's okay. But you may be comfortable with wisdom tooth removal, TMJ. You may be comfortable with orthodontics. That's up to you. I can't tell you what's right for you, but we want to customize a marketing campaign for you that targets the types of high-value patients that you really want in your practice and that you're most comfortable with. So we isolate those out. Now, go to thewealthydentist.com and check out firstprospects.com because it will automatically track this information for you on your practice and all of your leads and so forth as they come into your practice. Amazingly enough, this program will tell you exactly what the value is of every kind of patient that you have in your practice, and it will calculate the true value of that patient in your practice and your net profit. So it's a great program. I strongly recommend it. Now, we isolated out the cosmetic, the implants, and the sedation. Look at that. Look at the difference between a family general care patient and a high-value patient. Where should you spend your marketing dollar? Should it be targeted at the high-value patient, or should it be targeted at the standard patient? Think this one through, folks. If you've got a dollar for marketing, do we want to use it to market a standard, family-based, patient, or do we want to use that same dollar to market a cosmetic, implant, or sedation patient, the high-value patient that's right for your practice? Okay, it's really a no-brainer. You always want to target high-value patients. You'll still get the standard patients. Trust me. Even though you're targeting cosmetics, implants, and sedation, or whatever's right for you, you'll still get the standard patients. Okay. Once again, now, the interesting thing, go to thewealthydentist.com and check out the Internet Dental Alliance program for website marketing, because almost all the wealthydentist.com doctors we've worked with over the years have at least 3 websites, each one of these targeted at a high-value patient. The monthly cost on a website that gets you these kinds of patients and gets you at the top of the search engines is about $145 a month, and each one generally delivers at least one, if not up to 5 or 6, high-value new patients a month. So great return on investment if you want to, you know, get a marketing strategy for the Internet. If you've already got an Internet site, don't worry about it. Put up 4, 5, 6 Internet sites, each one targeted as a separate high-value new patient. It's a great marketing strategy. All right. Additionally, you can do the same thing and target high-value new patients at firstdds.com. Again, there's a training program for firstdds.com at thewealthydentist.com. So go through that, take a look. I think you'll like what you see. All right, so we've identified our high-value patients. Now, all marketing is systems. We started that way. We want to choose systems that complement your personality and have the lowest cost of acquisition. We also want to target those types of patients that we want and screen out undesirables. We've identified the high-value patients that we want, and we want to screen out the undesirables. We also want to pick strategies that preheat the patients to accept our dentistry. So those are our criteria. Now, return to thewealthydentist.com for additional resources. First of all, there's a printable version of this presentation to help you and your team in training and implementation. A lot of our doctors, we found, have hooked up video projectors to their computer so that they can go through these presentations as training programs for their team meetings. They run about 20 to 30 minutes each, and they fit into the normal team meeting pretty well. So you can get a printable version of this presentation to help you in training and implementation. Additionally, there's an audio version that you can download that you can burn to a CD and use in your auto. Play it on the way to work. I'm Jim DeMolin, Chief Editor of thewealthydentist.com, and I hope you've enjoyed this introduction on how to maximize your marketing and targeting the high-value new patient. At thewealthydentist.com, our philosophy is very simple. We feel that profit is the natural result of doing what's right for your patients. Thank you. Enjoy.